Now we're discussing, in the middle of discussing, the notion of the Torah being a Yerusha. And we spoke last week, and the last week we spoke about the idea that if we left it up to ourselves, we would not necessarily inherit the Torah, because we would not necessarily receive the Torah, accept the Torah, because there are always challenges that arise that question our faith. So therefore, the idea of the Torah as being...
Like water.
You gotta be here. You gotta be in the thing with it. Okay. Right. So the idea of accepting the Torah is also dependent upon this notion of Yerusha, of inheritance, and being passed on from generation to generation. And that's a very powerful element of belief, of acceptance, of being a Jew, is understanding that what we have was given to us, and we've inherited it. It's not, and in a sense, we're obliged to keep it because it was passed to us, and it wasn't just something that we chose on our own. Okay? Vanias Bir Dvarim. So he says, I'll explain these matters. I'm on page Nun Aleph. Let me explain these matters. What page are you on?
67.
Okay. Vanoach Sheba Olam, it is the custom of the world. Echad Sherachash Lo Sadeh, O Kiyotzei Bo B'Derech Kinyan Shekana Lasma. If somebody bought he says a field, but let's say a car. Kivan Shegil is B'Derech Kinyan, since he bought it, right, it necessitates that he fulfill all the requirements, all the conditions of the acquisition. And then it will be a fair kinyan acquisition. What if somebody comes along and says, you didn't actually, what's the word I'm looking for, pay? Or you didn't fulfill one of the requirements of the contract. What?
Read the fine print.
We got me a biraya. Edimozan, he'll prove it. As he will tell us, it's a kinyan. Biasuki ilu loyam alam. So that nullifies the acquisition. You know what I'm saying? If you didn't sign the title, I don't know how they have car things here in Israel. Yes, a car. But if you didn't sign the title, and it's not, and the conditions weren't fulfilled, then it's not an acquisition. That's if you acquired it. What if it's an antique car you inherited from your grandfather? And everybody knows that. So who's going to fetch and say you didn't purchase it properly? You didn't fill the conditions. Why? Because there's no condition to fulfill that they could say, well, you didn't fulfill the proper condition.
You weren't his grandson.
We'll get there. Very good. But let's say you assume you are his grandson. Okay. What's interesting is the logic. We're going to see that the logic for Eretz Yisrael doesn't follow 100%. The analogy doesn't follow exactly. Anyway, ki ena debar kashur l'shum tonight. It's not connected to any condition. Everybody knows. Everybody knows you're the grandson of, or the son of. Everybody knows that was his ancestral land. But that's the way the world works. That's how it works with Torah. Remember we said, we didn't buy it or acquire it with our intellect. That the kvetcher, the complainer, could come along and say, well, you made a logical error. Rather, it is an inheritance. Remember, the 600,000, it was proven true to them. Right, there were 600,000 that witnessed Shekiblu Otam, Beresh Gale. They accepted it, the words of the Torah, explicitly, Mipi HaKadosh Baruch Hu Ba'atzmo V'Chvodo Shenigla Alehem, through the revelation of God. Hem Horishu Lanu Oto Midor Dor Adoreinu. So there is never an intellectual acceptance of the Torah. We never accept it intellectually. It was given to us full on proof, and that was passed down from generation to generation, and therefore, I mean, even if you don't, how should we say this? Honestly, even if you have trouble with certain things, you're still stuck with it. Because nobody ever asked you whether you thought it was true. Sounds harsh. No?
Like we said.
I don't know if you accept my mother or not.
If you weren't born Jewish, then whatever, but if you were, tough luck.
Tough luck, right. It's yours. whether you ask for it or not. It's like the monarchy. Did Prince William choose to be? He can abdicate, I guess.
Yeah.
He can abdicate the throne, but he can't abdicate his royalty, can he? Can he say, "I don't want to be a royal anymore"?
Yeah, he can abdicate.
You can abdicate totally.
That's what happened.
Was
that King's speech?
No, I didn't say it. You can, but you're not a royal anymore. Then you have like a deal of a head joke. What?
Just become a gentry.
Really? Yeah, go figure. Okay, it's like a Kohen. Like people struggle with that today too. You know.
Well, it's just like a Kohen. You can choose. You can unfortunately perform acts that invalidate yourself.
No, you can perform acts that invalidate your eligibility to serve in the temple. But you cannot perform any act that will negate your kahunatude.
You can negate your children's kahunatude.
You can negate your children's legitimacy to serve in the temple.
No.
Nope.
They're Kohen Chalal.
To be a Lamza.
They are Kohen Chalal. They can't serve. They still come from a Yerusha of a Kohen.
So can't marry.
You can't negate your ancestry. You can't negate fact.
Can't marry a divorced woman.
That's right. There's nothing you can do that will, you know what I'm saying, that will change that fact.
The same halakha as a full kahuna applies to each child, each whatever, whether they have any rights to the being of a Kohen.
To the best of my knowledge, yeah, I don't think you can abdicate your kahuna. You are. Either you are a Kohen or you're not a Kohen. Okay? But it's Jews and Judaism the same way. No matter what you do, you might be a Jew that is an apostate, that rebelled, or that whatever, still a Jew. You cannot turn off your Judaism. There's no way to do it. Same is true about the passing down of the Torah. You inherit it. It's like a plot of land in Detroit. Whether you want it or not, they're still going to bill you for the taxes.
Can't get rid of it.
Can't get rid of it because nobody wants it. All right, I'm sorry. I'm just two former Detroiters.
Okay.
What? I assume it's not just Detroit. Okay. But in our case, we obviously believe that this Yerusha is a wonderful thing. It's a great inheritance. You know, but, and there's a certain, I think that he says, it's interesting, one gets the sense, I think reading it, that I get the sense that faced with an incredible challenge, the events that have surrounded him, to his emuna, right, if you have nothing else, then you say to yourself, well, why should I, how can I believe in a Kaddish Baruch Hu that's allowing this to happen? And his answer is,
you don't have a choice.
I don't have a choice. I'm forced to believe in God. You know what I'm saying? If you go to somebody and you're trying to bring them closer, I'm forced to accept the truth of the Torah. That's what he says. But he couldn't say that. That is not willing to say.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? I don't believe in the revelation.
That's what I understood.
Yeah. What do you mean if you don't believe in it? How can you not believe in it?
Help you either.
You don't accept that that's true?
Yeah.
You don't accept that it happened?
Yeah.
Because you...
Because
you didn't. All right, we've been through this. We've been in a circle. Well, you're wrong.
So how does that get you anywhere?
No, he says, if you don't believe in Mamad Har Sinai, then you're not obligated. Then nothing else obligates you, because it's not given as a... To you, it's not an inheritance. I don't inherit anything.
You can't say he's wrong.
But you still can't
what?
You can't say he's wrong. Because then it's an intellectual discussion.
So what can I say?
You see,
yes, you are.
My faith is
that
I believe that I've been passed down a Yerusha.
Yeah,
and so is he.
He's saying he doesn't. So
and he's saying he doesn't. So is it.
No. But I'm saying he's mistaken.
But two sentences before, you said you can't do anything about it. You receive it anyyway.
It's like the land.
Yeah,
they're going in circles. Okay. All I'm saying is I think that this was his, one gets a sense that this, like if you're struggling with faith, there's a security in knowing that no matter how much I question, if I believe in Ma'amar Har Sinai, then I have to believe.
Yeah.
And I think that all of us, to some degree, we find ourselves in that situation sometimes when we're faced with difficult questions of faith. Right? Even if I have struggled with this particular question or issue, nonetheless, I believe in the system. I believe in the whole. I believe and I take comfort in that, even if I don't understand this specific detail or this specific aspect that I struggle with. Because to be honest with you, and I think that's his point, we're all going to come across things in the Torah that we struggle with. I mean, I don't know about you. You know what I'm saying? Some of us might come across theoretically, some guy might be struggling with some things. No, you know what I'm saying? And so what do you do with it? The answer is, it was passed down to you. And so you don't have to depend on your faith, on your instead of your intellect.
Isn't that a cop-out, though?
Yeah. No, why?
Because
isn't the others incredibly arrogant? Isn't the opposite arrogant, that you have to understand everything?
You have to believe. You have to be agree that you're in. I don't yet understand all the different things. I don't, and it's like we had this intense classic, it was Dafyomi the other day that they said, like, so the thing with the coin gadol war, the tzitz,
right,
is atones for all of the things that happen in the Beis HaMikdash. Every time someone makes a mistake, right. So the tzitz atones.
Tumah b'chutz, right,
all
things,
all these different things, it atones for all of those things.
Right.
So I was like, what do you mean, atones for all those things? I mean, like you make a mistake, you know, you bring an unkosher animal up, the tzitz atones. So someone said to me very appropriately, said, what, and you understand why karbanos are mechaper for Kilo Shabbos? Like, in other words, like, that makes sense to you when you sacrifice an animal on the Mizbeach, then you're freed of, like, the obligation for, by accident, like, the Kilo Shabbos? Like, it doesn't make any sense either. Like, I don't understand that. Like, why does that work?
So what's your answer? Your answer is, I don't understand anything?
No, the point is that once you say, I believe in God, I believe that God gave the Torah, like, he's saying, not because it was inherited to me, but, you know, I guess because I believe that that's true, like we discussed last week, then the rest of it is just like continuing adult education.
I think we're saying the same thing, just in other words.
Because it's that way you say, like, it's, you're
saying
like, it was inheritance, kind of like, feel like, well, like you say, like, tough luck. Like, you don't believe it. It doesn't make any sense to you. Like, the whole thing is for you, it's like, you know.
Isn't that the language that he's using? The language of Yerusha is very strong in that way. It's almost, like you said, it's almost extreme.
Yeah, it's like you didn't choose.
That's what he's saying. Okay. He's saying, El Yerusha v'teinu, v'anu marishin mota levaneinu, u'baneinu livneihem. We give it to our children, to their children, ad olam tichtiv, lanu ulvaneinu ad olam, v'asot et kol divei ha-Torah hazot. It's at the end of the Torah. And then we give it to us and our children forever to do all this Torah. V'akol v'tarat Yerusha. Inheritance. Shuv ein b'koach shun to'ein liton aleha. So that nobody has the power to complain or argue against it. It is very, very extreme.
From outside, not from inside.
Why do you say that? Who are you saying that? I don't think so. I think he's building a system of belief that's extremely extreme. You can't argue on the Torah. Why can't you argue on the Torah? Because you can't. Okay. Goes. This is the end of the Noda Yehuda. Now, my brothers, so all in the words of Rashi in the pasuk Zekeli Vanveu Elokei Aviv Amen from Az Yashir. Shekatuv Rashi. Rashi says, Lo ani tchilat hakedusha. I am not the beginning of holiness. Ale muchzeket v'omenet li miyamei avotai. Rather, it's held on to me from my forefathers. Ratzono lomar, meaning by this. Masha ani omer zekeli, that which I said, this is my God. Lo tachshov, do not think shani miyaches oto mikoach kinyan sheli, that I inherited it. Shekaniti oto mikoach sichli ha'atmi, that I inherited it from my own intellect. Ela, okay, rather, the God of my father. Muchzak umirashu li mimei avotai. Hein mamash divrei rabbeinu not of Yudah. I actually had a theory that I think I made with my brother's bar mitzvah. That was a little less extreme. And I think that Judaism is not, meaning he has, you know, you have these two elements of the choice, and on the one hand, the individual choice, and the, how should we say this, the fact that the Torah is communicated or conveyed to us unwillingly. These two themes, everybody's trying to move it away from themselves. These people are reading. These two themes appear in a lot of different areas. A lot of different areas. So, like, one of them that I always find very much appealing is the two brachot of Brachot HaTorah. What do you say before you reading the Torah, and then afterwards. Okay, the first one is, Asher bacharbanu mikol ha'amim v'natalanu et Torato. Right? Did God? Do we have any choice in that? Is there any aspect of personal engagement?
No, but it's positive. It's like Baruch Hashem. Hashem chose.
Wonderful. But did he ask you? Is there any element of...
He didn't ask me if I wanted to be created. He didn't ask me if I wanted to exist.
Nonetheless, God. God, yeah. He chose us. We were coerced. Nonetheless, the second bracha, Shanatananu Torat Emet. Okay? When you say God gave us Torat Emet, like, where's that Emet coming from? Chaye Olam Nata B'Tochenu. Right? That's a very, very different worldview. Meaning, now I'm looking at the Torah that He gave me through choice and saying, it is true, it is eternal, and it is meaningful. And both of those are clearly critical elements of the way we relate to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's not one or the other, but rather there's an element of coercion, of force, of absolutism, and then there's the element of choice. So, and I think that I think it's true. At,
how can you say Bachar Banu? Hashem Bachar Banu. We say all that time, like that the Jewish people are the chosen people. Mm-hmm. We talk about this right now. The Jewish people are the chosen people. We see that as like a. I thought we always used, I think about that. It's like. A tremendous amount of zchut, of merit, like that Hashem out of all the Hashem Bachar Banu, we feel like Baruch Hashem, like Shelo Asani Goy.
Correct, but like, that's not. But I'm not focusing on whether it's good or not. I'm asking a question. When he Bachar Banu Mikol Ha'amim Benatalanu Et Torato, right? Where is our input in that question, in that issue?
Zero.
Right. That's what I'm saying. I'm not saying it's good or bad. Correct. It's a great thing. I agree. I'm with you. It's great. But you have no say. And the second part, Ashanata Lanu Torat Emet.
Where's our choice in that?
What? That's the choice is determining, is declaring that it's Torat Emet. V'chaye Olam Nata B'tochenu. I am now describing it as Chaye Olam. I'm going to uphold it because I think it's mine. And so, like the word I said, the Bar Mitzvah, which I think is true, is I said that at the Bar Mitzvah, it's very interesting. You have both elements. On the one hand, right, you know, why is the kid becoming a Bar Mitzvah? Because his father's Jewish. On the other hand, he has to stand up and receive the Torah. So you see this dichotomy, you see this dialectic in a lot of different areas also. That, you know, you see, I see it all the time now that if you're aware of it, just in nature, we talk about this idea. Why are you who you are? Is it because you're nature or because you're nurtured? What's nature? Nature is who you are, irrespective of any choice you have. Nurture is the way you're raised to react to your environment. Right, so we see that in everywhere. So Rav Teichdal, in his extreme formulation, is saying it's primarily, we are primarily our nature. And our response to it is almost irrelevant. We have to sort of mold ourselves to the reality in which we find ourselves.
Is that really where this discussion is coming from? Discussion seems to be coming from a claim to the validity of Torah and Judaism.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
So it's purely, it's whether it's internal or external. The whole argument is, don't use intellect, because that's not how you got it. You got it because it was Yerusha.
And therefore?
That's the explanation.
Good, and therefore? And
therefore, it can't be challenged.
Correct.
Okay?
Correct.
But it's not about individual halakhot, if I understand or don't understand.
Right.
It's just about whether it's the truth or isn't the truth.
I think in general it's about theology. Do you accept?
And presumably he'll use it for Israel as well. We don't have to argue whether Israel's our land or not, because we were given it. We were given it by God, and no one can trump that.
Correct.
That trumps everything.
Well, you're close. Not exactly. He's going to take it in a very, very interesting, different direction. Okay. Actually, he's going
to... But this seems to be, you can't trump it. It's not that it was passed down. It was given to you by God.
Right.
Okay, it just happens that the way of you... receiving that is through Yerusha,
mm-hmm.
and not through you understanding a formula that meant you understand it.
Correct.
Okay.
Okay. Correct. Hareti v'dat. So I prove to you now. Shekol kiyum Torato b'yadeinu hu mikoach sheYerusha mi'avotein. The fact that we have the Torah is because it's an inheritance from our forefathers. But now we're going to switch over. V'achrei advarim ha'ele. After this, navin heitev lashon morasha. And then Barbara Torah. Now we understand. Torah Tzivalanu Moshe. Right? God gave us command as the Torah. Morasha Kihilat Yaakov. It is a Morasha, it's an inheritance. So it's all Omar. Tikilot Yaakov lo boi la mikoa kinyan shel atzma. It's not that they acquired it themselves. Shehu ra'ua b'yad ha'koneh. It's very risky. It's a very risky acquisition. And then Torah Yerusha boi leha. Rather they inherited it. V'zeu tokfa shel Torah b'yadena. This is the strength of the Torah in our hands. V'zeu anyan shel tevat Morasha. That's the meaning of the word morasha. Ulorot ba yisodei dechazakim, it came to teach us about its strong foundations. And the Torah's eternal nature in our hands. Like the Rambam says, it was established, it was founded in reliable thickness. If you have a good foundation, nobody can knock down the building. It'll stand strong. Anyone who extends their hand, who tries to destroy it, eventually it'll be destroyed. As every attacker of the Torah has been lost. We're not going to lose a single letter, a single word, a single point. The Torah will never be lost, ever, ever, ever. Who's he trying to convince?
People that are getting killed?
Yeah, probably. That's what it means that the Torah is an inheritance. Now we switch.
But he's not talking to people who've left the faith.
Right.
He's not trying to convince anybody to believe in God.
No, he's right. He's talking to his own people. I think you're right.
Yeah, you have to
trying to strengthen them. He's not trying to be the power of people. Right. I agree with you totally. He's telling his own people, in the face of difficulty, you've got to be strong.
Yeah.
Would you say that? Fine. Now he's going to try to convince them something else, which I'm not going to agree with. Remember, we learned that Hashem said to the Jewish people, "V'natati ota lachem morasha ani Hashem," and I will give it to you as a morasha, the land. Okay. Hine ke'eshav reit barach shemo v'tbala barat olam ve'adam olam. When God created the world, u'mimenu nifvedu goyah haaretz v'nasu d'shivim amim, and they were separated into 70 nations. Masar Hashem itbarach otam l'sarei ma'ala. Yeah, this is a well known truism, a description of the way the world works. Okay, I don't know if it's important to be familiar with this idea that when God divided up the nations in the world, He didn't just divide them up in the world below, but rather He divided up the nations in the UN above. How should we call this? The IUN, the Interstellar United Nations. Why? Because every nation below has a corresponding sar above. You're nodding, but for some people this is new. You ever heard of this idea? Right. So it's a pseudo. Very good. There's an idea called the sar shel Esav. But Esav isn't the only one that has his own sar. Every nation has, I guess Yemen had a sar. You know what I'm saying? What's that country, Tunisia, that fell apart recently? Their sar isn't doing so well. Okay, so every nation has a sar. Chazal clearly believed this. To what degree it's metaphorical and to what degree they believed it actually, very difficult to know. But one gets a sense that they really, really, really believed it. And it's not just a metaphorical idea. You find this idea also in the Rambam on the Torah. And it's obviously it's somewhat of a Kabbalistic idea. I wish I could explain it to you. It's something like the tzitz being mechaper on Tuma, the Beis Hamikdash. That's how they describe it. In fact, they describe it in such a degree that many argue that it isn't events on the ground that are affecting the spiritual realms above, but rather a weakening. For example, Egypt's going through some tough times, must be because God decided to weaken the Sar Shel Mitzrayim, as it were today. Or that the events that are happening in the Shemayim to some degree are manifest themselves in the world below.
Oh, we should just be clear, though, that it's not, as far as I understand it, it's not that there's a Sar of Mitzrayim or Tunisia or whatever. It's the Amim that were split up at the time of whatever, like there's Shivim Amim.
Meaning all this,
there's like a Sar of,
according to Yoshito,
like Florida,
all Sarim are gone. Then there are no Sarim.
No, there are different peoples. There are different peoples. And whatever they, however we don't understand them.
You mean the Arab peoples?
Well,
and
modern day nations is such a warped
different
concept.
different.
Yeah, but back then they were also, what was a nation back then? It was a tribe.
No, it was
wasn't
the way
it?
They came out of, like from Noah.
Really, what's the difference between the Yabusi and the Chiti?
I have no idea, but there is a difference.
Well, definitely different traits at the head.
Yavan is described all the way in Bereishis, even before there was Greece. Whatever.
Right, right.
You know, Ashkenaz and Tevo.
So you're saying these countries today don't have their own Sarim, you think it's more peoples?
That's kind of how I see it, yeah.
You know how I see it?
Why would there be a Sar of Florida?
I'll be brilliant. Well, who knows if Florida is a
maybe
state?
More
maybe
like
United States
or whatever.
So you're saying more metaphorically. I'm telling you,
different groups of people.
Chazal clearly didn't see it only metaphorically.
Hashem,
do you agree with that, by the way?
Hashem divide the world after Migdal Bavel. Hashem
And he doesn't like
Islam.
What?
Countries change all the time.
They changed all the time back then too.
For why? Exactly. Why is that?
Sar means I look at it really that there's like a desk up there, right? And there's some spiritual entity up there, out there, wherever. There's some spiritual entity who's in charge of the stuff going on in. You want to say it's not geographical? You want to say it's? I don't know how you're going to divide it up.
There are different people. It's
characteristic.
What?
It says what different.
Are there 70 nations today even? Did you even say, you know what I'm saying?
I don't know who they are, but they are.
There are 70 nations.
There's more than 70 countries.
There's more than 70 countries. Right. Yeah, some of those islands, I think.
When Mashiach comes, yeah, we'll see that there's 70 nations. So just like there's 70 Parim and all those.
You're saying there's 70 nations somehow.
Yeah.
Just like you don't know who Amalek is, so the Tsar is in charge of like a bunch of people spread all over the place.
Yeah. Different.
So Jamaica.
So you're saying you're okay with the Tsar, but not the way the world's divided up.
I just don't think it can be a way people divide it up. God divides it up the way he looks at it. And he said in the Torah there are different nations. And that's the way it seems normal to divide them up. Like when we say 70 nations, when we gave 70 cows on Sukkot, there were also different nations at that time than there were.
Right, they weren't necessarily 70 at any given time.
Whatever that means. Why were there 70 Zakanim that were asked to translate the Torah into Greek? I mean, it's because there's this idea that there's this 70 different aspects of worldly function.
So you think there are 70 Sarim, you just don't think they're in charge of Tunisia?
I don't know. They might be in charge of Tunisia and Algeria. Maybe they go together.
I agree. I don't know either. I agree. I totally agree. I have no idea. It is irrelevant.
But it's not like you can say that there's like a Sar of Gaza that's busy like working about Gaza.
He's doing a bad job.
Yeah, he's not doing so well. I mean,
whatever.
Although, I don't know if you heard, yeah, Gaza is now supplying Egypt. Those poor Gazans, they're not supplying Egypt all their necessary goods. How's that for a turnaround? Okay.
Wait, sorry, one more question.
Come back.
Yes.
What is the practical Hafkamina, whatever you call Hafkamina, from whether God is making what happens in Egypt happen in Egypt first or not happen first?
There's a huge Hafkamina, as we'll see in a second. Okay. A very good question. Okay. One second. Ukafi Amida. One second. Masar Hashem Yitbarach Otam Masarei Ma'ala. Shekol am yamod tachat tzar shalo. Every nation will stand under its minister. V'tachat hashpa'ato milamala. Meaning God, he's a delegator. He doesn't deal with, let's say, Mitzrayim of old. Can we acknowledge that Chazal believe Mitzrayim of old had its own tzar? Okay? Mitzrayim of old had its own tzar. So God doesn't deal with Mitzrayim per se directly. Rather, he delegates to the tzar of Mitzrayim to deal with it. Ukfi amidat tzar lamala b'shamayim. The stature of the minister above, kahu emdato po ale aretz. Clearly, right, that influences, that determines the stature of the nation below. Ubegadol hasar lemala yigdal ha'am po lemata. Ubin po hasar lemala yipol ha'am lemata. Right, the more, the better you do, the better the minister is doing. So right now, I mean, let's, even though Aaron won't accept this, the minister of the United States isn't doing as well as he could be doing. You know what I'm saying? So the United States is doing a little more poorly. Right? And why? And it's not the other way around. It's not the United States. It could be very well. I mean, this is total conjecture on my part. Perhaps the minister gets his power from the spiritual koach of the people whom he's supposed to represent, of the nation he represents. That it's all interconnected. But that's mere conjecture on my part. Gemara Mar Katuv, as it says, Yifkod Hashem al Tzva Marom ba Marom. God should appoint on the ministries of the heavens in the heavens, ba Malchei Adama al Adama, and the kingdoms on the ground. V'chein chilek et ha'aretz bein sarei lemala. So God divided up between these ministers. U'lechol sar yesh chilek ba'aretz, and every minister had a part. V'ha'am hanitan biyado yoshev aleha. And by the way, it does sound, Aaron,
geographic.
Of course, it was geographic, but it's the way that Hashem decided things before, not like the way the people divide things.
Well,
but that means if there's like a civil war.
Tachnos is deciding things, he's describing it 50 years ago.
If there's a civil war in Egypt, you know, and they decide to break off into like Northern Nile and Southern Nile, then all of a sudden there's a new Tsar for Northern Nile and a new Tsar, there's one for Kamchatka and all these other places. Like, I mean,
they play Risk upstairs.
No, like I'm saying, like.
You didn't have Risk when you were a kid? Okay, I'm sorry. He's just looking at me like, what? I don't know, but it sounds geographic. I
There is an idea that the
I believe it. I don't know.
Can you just go back to the spiritual target?
Yeah.
You know, I was just going to... Eretz Yisrael, the land itself, has its own...
Wait!
Power.
Hold on, we'll get there.
You want to say go back to the spiritual entity. It's a physical... It's a spiritual entity for each Tsar, or it's one... You're saying there's one spiritual entity that's controlling all...
No, one gets a sense. Each space, each geographic entity has its own Tsar.
So is it a mala, or it's...
What's a mala? Right. You know what I'm saying? I mean, a malach is a spiritual entity. You know what I'm saying? So it was Tsar, minister.
Some of them were designated as...
Yeah, God.
Tsar of...
I mean...
Geographic location X.
We're like, what?
We talk to this into a video game.
What'd you say? What'd you say?
Make you work this into a video game.
Work this into a video game? You are the Tsar of Tunisia. Save your country before... Right, it's like Sim Tunisia. I mean, I'm... You know, it's all in the way God created the world and the way the world is supposed to work. You know, and it all goes to, I think, a broader question of to what degree does God directly intervene? To what degree does God indirectly intervene? You know, how is the influence of God... relevant to us. I'll just give you an example.
I ask this because it's, you know, like Akhenaten Rosh and Ahi or Haman, they feared the power of Hashem. They were making decisions based upon Hashem. However, you don't hear them talking about, you know, the minister of Persia, the Tsar of Persia. Well, maybe they should have went to him first to negotiate with Hashem when they should draw the lots.
I mean, according to the Midrash, they fear the power, the negative power. They believed in, I think, sorcery to some degree, and luck in lots.
Sure.
Right?
But they feared Hashem. They feared the power.
What are you basing that on? Meaning, when according to the Midrash, Achashverosh, when they feared the 70 years, when the 70 years was over,
right,
then they thought they were free of...
Right, so Hashem was on their mind. There was a presence of Hashem in their mind. So
They believed in a lot of gods.
Right.
Didn't they? I mean, they believed in the power of that god as one of many, many gods. You know, I mean, these are not easy concepts to really wrap your head around.
But a Malik doesn't believe in any gods.
A Malik believes in, the idea of a Malik is really a Sher Kara, a chance.
Yeah.
Right, not in the hand of God. I don't believe necessarily in the hand of God influencing the world as it is today.
They don't believe in God.
God influencing, no, I didn't say that.
I don't think they do.
Where do you get that from? I don't know, let's go on. Okay, so you divide up the land. Okay. Here we go. And the nation, right, in his hand is dwelling, right, that was revealed to us as the rabbis of the truth have said this. And you can see the footnote. So look at footnote 148. Right? What's the footnote 148? Zohar. Zohar, 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 Zohar. And then Sefer Hasidim. You know what I'm saying? So you're dealing in spirituality stuff. So you don't have to understand necessarily. The Rambam said in the beginning of Hektamotel is Rayim Beniflot, V'chol makom maskir divrei chazal kineh otam Hashem rabotinu chachmei emet. The Rambam called them the rabbis of emet. Ki heim beruach kodsham kivnu bidvarim ele emet bera ayin sham. Okay? Meaning, what's he saying? You don't like this? You don't understand it? Tough. Right? Ayin sham. Ach, but. Eretz echad. Here's your nafkemina. Eretz echat hiniach Hashem tachat yado u'memshalto v'lo masra lidei shum tsar. Everybody else, every nation goes through an intermediary through a tsar. There's one nation that doesn't go through a minister, rather goes directly to God. V'amro, zot ha'aretz ani meniach li u'lememshalti. And he says, this is the land which I leave to myself and to my governance. When God created the world, he said, listen, there's one chunk of land that I'll watch over myself. Okay? And when I find somebody who's worthy of deserving this land, then I'll place him like a stamp on my heart. And then I'll have the relationship with him directly without any through any minister. Anyway, we see this in the Jewish people in the Midbar. Right? When the Bnei Yisrael see the Chet HaEgel, that's next week's parsha. So Hashem says to them, you know what? Okay, we'll go to Eretz Yisrael, but anybody know what he says? He says, Hinei Anochi Shalech Malach Lefanecha. I'm going to send an angel in front of you, and like you do whatever he says. And what do the Jewish people say?
No,
we want God. And God says, are you sure? I don't think you really want me, because if you really want me, when you get me mad, I get really mad. And the Jewish people said, no. And the Kaddish Baruch Hu says, almost admiringly, you are the most stubborn people I've ever met. And we get our way. We want that direct relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We insist upon it. It's a core of our essence. So, I mean, the question becomes, how does that, this is the answer to your question, right? How does it manifest itself? Meaning,
looks like we could use some lobbyists during this time.
During this time, yeah. We don't have that sense.
Direct consequences.
Yeah. Chazal believed strongly. Bnei Yisrael, that in Eretz Yisrael, it's straight.
It's right.
It's the red phone.
You're good. Get rain. You're not. Right. You don't.
Except
what?
Seems kind of random, doesn't it? At least now. Can you correlate behavior of the Jews with rain or lack thereof?
I don't even attempt to have the slightest understanding of how the ultimate point system is calculated.
Okay.
But I am certain.
So you're saying
I'm certain.
It's for sure true, but I don't know whether. I don't see it.
I can't figure it out. It would take superhuman whatever to figure out how. But like
you just use a Tytel's argument.
What?
I know it's true. I just can't tell you how.
No, I mean not because I can't tell you how. I'm limited.
That's exactly what he said, right?
But Akash Baruch Hu has a cheshbon. He has a cheshbon, and when he sees when this person
isn't the point of Shema being between us. Isn't the point of Shema? You do good, you'll be rewarded.
Yeah.
Don't do good, you'll be punished.
Yeah.
Do you see that?
Yeah.
You do?
Yeah.
Really?
Sure.
No, anybody it's else? Not
what?
Not until after the poor guys in the Holocaust.
That's one of those struggling things.
We're just talking about this. I'm not saying that the Holocaust I understand, but in Eretz Yisrael, there is a different system. That's what he's saying.
That's exactly what he's saying. I believe
there
it to
is,
be true.
There is a different
I believe
system.
It to be true. My point, 100%.
I mean, actually, I'm sorry. I'm getting confused. You mentioned this in the Parsha Shir that you gave to the ladies a few weeks ago. About
he's quoting me now. I'm in big trouble.
No, you when you spoke about the whole system of monetary compensation in Eretz Yisrael as opposed to Chutz La'aretz, this is basically what you said. This is what your thesis was. You said that in Eretz Yisrael, and like, we don't know why, but like, somehow, like, things seem to be, they just seem to work out differently. I mean, that, you know, things...
I'll say two things about that. Did I specifically say Eretz Yisrael versus non-Eretz
Yisrael?
Yeah,
yeah.
Okay. I think maybe I was correct. Okay, but... But nonetheless...
Bush is correct.
What? It's easy for me to say because it's working out.
No, even if it's not working out.
That's the way it was supposed to work out.
I don't know, I see this at least in my own small dollar almost.
Yeah.
Like, well, this is basically what you said, which is why I appreciated it, is that in Chutz La'aretz, it's like, you know, you go along and you have your job, and Baruch Hashem, most people, like, you know, not everyone is successful, but a lot of people, you know, are okay. You know, they're not worrying about where their next month's check is going to come from, and like if they're going to finish the Chodesh, as they say in Israel.
Right.
And here, things are a little bit more challenging.
Fluid.
And we don't feel like we're on such solid ground.
Right.
And basically, you get put in this situation where Hashem says, okay, great that you're in Israel, and like, it's wonderful, but now I'm going to see if you really believe. Because, you know, it's not so simple, and you're going to see now that things are going to happen that you're not going to understand, and the only way you can get to the understanding is by having a tremendous amount of emunah.
Nonetheless, we see clearly that Eretz Yisrael is a place, Chazal taught us that there's no intermediary. I don't know if it's our individual direct relationship with God, or our national relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but nonetheless, there's no in-between. It's HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and this is actually... I mean, it's an explicit pasuk in the Torah. Right? When Moshe Rabbeinu says it this way, he says, Eretz asher enei Hashem elokecha tamid, bar tamid, This is the land where God is looking at. Now, obviously, the question is, what? God doesn't see every other land? And he does, but he sees us, this land, more. He's looking at it more carefully. It seems to be looking at it and seeing. And we don't really understand how that works with God, but there's a closeness. There's a more, greater attraction, specificity, however you want to say it. Okay, so let's finish the paragraph. Okay, so when this guy comes, I'm going to put him out without any sar. He's going to be in charge. So who was the guy that God found who was appropriate to get the land? Zeh Adam, Haya Abraham Abinu Alav Hashalom. Who do you know? It was Abraham. Why? Ki Haya Ish Asher Haya Kilav Levav Ukiratzon HaBorei Kol HaOlam B'Malei Mubana Milah. He was like one and heart to heart with God, with every meaning of the word. The Torah says, the verse says, Atahu, right? You are the person, Alukim Asher Bacharta BeAvraham, you're the God who chose Avraham. Ve'hotzeito mi'or kastim, ve'samta shmo Avraham, u'matata devavon eman afanecha. Ve'oto matah Hashem Yitbarach, that person God found, l'hagun v'ra'ui, as appropriate, l'shivo ba'aretz shebachar u'v'ra'u l'chalko. Right, this is the man that God chose as the person who we chose and his portion. V'kidach shamu chazal, the rabbi sent, tachuma, chaviv ha'aretz Yisrael, shebachar ba'akadosh baruch hu. Eretz Yisrael is beloved that God chose it. So we see that when God divided up the world, he gave the nations of the world the rest of the world, but he chose Eretz Yisrael minayin. How do we know? Shekein Moshe Amar, Moshe said, Hanchel Elyon Goyim. Where is that from? Hanchel Elyon Goyim? Parsha of Ha'azinu. Right. When God, Lahanchil, to inherit or to divide up above to the nations. Ubachar lechelko Yisrael, and his question he said, it's an Emor as it says, ki chelek Hashem amo, because the portion of God is his nation, Yaakov chevel nachalato. Yaakov is the chevel, the strip of his inheritance. Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he's out of the Midrash. Yavo Yisrael sheba'u lechelki, v'yinchalu et ha'aretz sheba'u lechelki. Bnei Yisrael, who are my portion, should inherit the land of Israel, which is also my portion. So therefore, again, why do we get the Torah? Because God gave it to our ancestors and they handed it down to us. Why do we get Eretz Yisrael? Because it was God's. He saved it for himself. There was no minister. He gave it to Avraham Avinu. And Avraham Avinu gave it to his son. He gave it to his son. And they gave it to their sons. So on and so forth. Until today. Okay. There's a problem. How much time do I have? Time is it?
Quarter to?
10 to. אבל צריך לדע, מהו הדבר שהכשיר את אברהם אבינו להיות זוכה ליפול לחלקו של הקדוש ברוך הוא? Why did Abraham get it? What was so special about Abraham? הוא המסירות נפשו להשם. It's what we call מסירות נפש. Willingness to be self-sacrifice. אשר מסר עצמו לקדש שמו יתברך. Right? Where do we find that? וזה העילוי שלו. This is Abraham's unique quality. That he was elevated above any other person. Kasher hakatuv machrit alav. Okay, as the pasuk says. Asher hakatuv machrit. Should be said me machrit alav. Asher bachada bi Avraham etzeto mi ur kastim. What's ur kastim? Rabbis always interpret ur kastim. It's not the name of a place. Rather, it's the fire of kastim. You all know the story. What did Abraham do in kastim? They said, it's like George Washington, the cherry tree. Like, did you chop down this idol? No, Dad. The idol's chopped down the idol. Can't be. Throw him in the fire.
What was the city called?
What?
Was it Ur
Kastim? It's a midrash, though.
Yeah, but
Ur, from the Ur of Kastim.
Yeah, but there's like Hammurabi and stuff like that. The city called Ur.
Ur.
Yeah. Whatever. Maybe
tell that to the Baal Neha Midrash. Okay. Ukeshomer shezachar leshebacharta bo yan why shigdish et shimcha berabim beUr Kastim. He sanctified God's name. This is the first of the 10 tests. As the bartender said, then God chose him. And he elevated him above the nations. That's what it means. You made him Abraham. It hints. That the rabbi said. Why did Abraham get this? Because God found Abraham dedicated and devoted. And God said, that's the guy I want. That's the type of person. What?
Back to the same clicking switch. Do you have to come to God or is God to come to you?
Well, what happened in this case?
Abraham found
God. Good. One second. Let me just finish. Okay. And that's why God gave him the land. The Mabit says, he tells you, and the Mabit is a friend of the Beit Yosef, Shekatan. Abraham Avinu Zachal Eretz Israel. When did Abraham deserve the land of Israel? When he was willing to sacrifice himself to God. Then God took an oath, as it says, what's the key word for Avtaichdel here? Moresha, the Rishta. That was said to him many, much, much later. Nonetheless, it was only 52 at Ur Kasdim. He told him, from the time he got him out of Ur Kasdim, God had intended to give him the land. So why did Abraham get the land of Israel?
Faith.
What?
Faith.
No, not just faith.
Because
God chose to give it to him because of his self-sacrifice.
Because of his self-sacrifice, he just decided. He's like, I'm with God. Whatever you say, God, I'm going to do. That was basically the Asara Nisyanot of Abraham Avinu.
Yeah.
I'm, you know, just telling him what to do.
And God says, okay, I'm with you.
Yeah.
And
eat mud, I'm going to eat mud. No, that's something that's Abraham Avinu.
100%. And then the way Hashem said, you...
That's how it's strong.
You get in my land. Right. You deserve to be in my land. You're the kind of person I want to be in my land. So it's interesting. It's actually the opposite of the Torah. Right? The Torah, God came to them and gave them the Torah. Here, why is he giving him the Eretz Yisrael? Because Abraham Avinu, on his own, found God.
Because it's a
pet Isn't it interesting? Isn't it interesting that it's like there's two sides of that coin? You know what I'm saying? Why can't you just say, well, wouldn't it have made sense if that's the way God operates? Just like he gave us the Torah. What he should really do is say, I found this guy, Abraham, and I don't care who he is, he's going to get Eretz Yisrael. Regardless of his qualities.
Eretz Yisrael is just another dimension of Kadosh Baruch Hu.
What?
When Abraham comes to Kadosh Baruch Hu,
yeah.
Then Kadosh Baruch Hu opens up and says, okay, you can follow me, you my people, I'll be your God.
Why did God give us the... Did we do that for God from the Torah? Did we find God that we wanted to receive the Torah from him?
I didn't, but Abraham did.
So it all started from him anyway.
Yeah.
So you could have said the Torah started from him anyway.
It's a package deal.
And the Torah is a package deal. Agreed.
That's the finish line. That's the same. This is...
Yeah, agreed. Let's just finish this last paragraph. Okay. Re'ei Achai, my brothers, take a look. Shetikaf Merosh, as soon as Shenadar Hashem Yisbarach Lentet Abraham et Haaretz, when God took an oath to give Abraham the land, Gilalo Da'ato Yitbarach, God revealed his wish. Shalorak lo levad onatein haaretz. It's not just giving to him. Elagam lirishta. It's an inheritance. Hainu, shehu marizot gam lezaro acharav. Abraham would inherit it to his children. Vagam zaro yorish zaro acharav. And he would inherit it to his children. Kamo kol yirusha sholechat midor ledor beli hafsek. So he says, therefore, this is what you were getting at before. That's why it's ours. Why? It's the portion of God. It followed from Abraham, which is a portion of God. We got it too. You have fe'amu chazal. So say chazal. They said it so nicely. Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu Yisrael, said God to the Bnei Israel, Eretz Yisrael hu chelki. Land of Israel is my portion. Eretz Asher Hashem Doresh Otat Tamim. That was the pasuk I quoted before. It's a land which God seeks out always. V'atem chelki, and you are my portion. Kirechtiv, ki chelak Hashem amo. Na'el chelki, liot yoshev b'chelki. Okay, it's very worthwhile for the people who are my chelak to be dwelling in the land, which is my chelak. Beautiful. Very nice. Everything is wonderful. Why are we landing now in Eretz Yisrael? Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave it to Avraham Avinu. It was a Yerusha. He passed it down to him. And just like Rav Tanzel, the equation is very, very powerful. Like, we're very much connected to the idea of Torah. We're connected to the idea that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us the Torah. Are we so connected to this notion that God gave us this land? And we belong in the land to the same degree that we belong connected to the Torah? Yeah. You say why not, but I'm saying if you would ask the average Jew on the street, the religious Jew on the street.
Back in this time.
Back in that time. Oh, forget that time. This time. Go to Brookline.
No, it's not the same.
Go to Brookline and ask your average Jew on the street. Yeah. And say,
yes.
which is, you agree with me?
Yes. No.
You don't think so?
No.
To what, really? You think if you ask average Brooklyn Jew on the Brookline or Brooklyn Jew on the street, which is more essential to the Jewish existence, to the Jewish connection?
That's
Torah or Israel?
You're an Australian jury.
That's not the question.
Which is more important, Israel or Torah?
I'll probably say Israel.
85% of Melbourne Jews say they're Zionists.
Yeah, what's the question?
The question is not which is more important, because then you get into all kinds of different political, theological, whatever.
Yeah.
The question is, do you believe that God gave us Eretz Yisrael just like He gave us the Torah, and you get a very, very, very high percentage of people who would say
no, but that's not what he's saying. He's saying, do you believe that they're on equally essential to the existence of the Jewish people? That's what he's saying. Is that what God gives both? He's saying both are a morashah.
Yeah.
The same. Yeah. They're essentially equal.
Yeah. Not equally equal. Like lulav is equal to shofar. I don't know. I mean, go figure. I mean, I
have the same source.
Both are inherently critical to the essential nature.
Right, but there's a jump. We're missing the jump of you have to be in that physical space to fulfill your spiritual
remember?
He didn't say that yet.
Right,
he didn't say that yet.
Well, we've started heading onto a discussion, so it is that discussion. Not just saying how important is Israel the most important physical space to Jews.
Right now, he's got the 9. Okay. He's got to make it. Right now, he hasn't gotten there yet. All he's saying is that the existence of Eretz Yisrael is critical to the existence of the Jewish people. Equally to that of the Jewish people. Okay, next week, we will continue and realize that the inheritance isn't as absolute as you might think. Because you've got to wonder, if it's such a strong inheritance, then what's the obvious question?
How can I take it from us?
Why do we get kicked out?
Right.